Today, we have an extra special episode for you guys. You've heard her name mentioned multiple times on this podcast. My best friend, Daniela Mason, or Daniela Young, is here. We've been friends for 15 years and roommates for 3 of those years. We know all the dirt on each other. We laugh, we cry, we do it all on this episode, and I can't wait for y'all to have coffee with us. Before we get to Daniela, I have to tell you guys again about how I am so obsessed with my Hydro Jug. It is seriously the best. It's durable, reusable, and it's more than a half a gallon of water, so you stay hydrated all day long. There are 3 different options to choose from: the Pro Hydro Jug, stainless, or glass, and I have the Pro. I take it practically everywhere with me. The bottle is shatterproof and can withstand anything thrown at it, or anything you accidentally throw at it. I have to admit, I've dropped mine on more than one occasion, and Remdog sure loves to play with it, and Sister is going strong. With its integrated handle, it's easy to carry around to drink from. And you guys would be very proud of how on top of my water intake that I am. Not only is it convenient, but it's also very trendy, coming in so many colors and sleeve designs. I have the color birch and a very pretty vintage floral sleeve for my Hydro Jug. Get your Hydro Jug at www.thehydrojug.com. Use discount code CWK to get 10% off your order today. Hydro Jugs are game changers for anyone on the go. Again, use code CWK at thehydrojug.com to get 10% off and start hydrating today. Now to Daniela. Guys, today we have the woman, the myth, the legend.
The myth.
Daniela Mason. You have been brought up in at least every other episode, I would say.
Well, this day is finally here. It's blowing my mind because I can't tell you. I've had people come up to me and be like, Daniela, I know you from Kaylee's podcast. I'm like, well, I've never been on Kaylee's podcast.
Oh, but it was just a matter of time.
Yes.
It was a matter of time. Let's start at the very beginning.
Yes.
Way back in 2007.
Yes.
When we became besties for the resties.
Besties for the resties. Yeah, I mean, we were at Belmont University together, and I feel like we saw each other around.
Yeah.
But our first moment where we became friends, I feel like for anyone who knows Kaylee or who listens to the podcast will not be surprised by this story. But essentially, Kaylee hijacked and took over during a conversation I was having with a boy I was interested in, and she essentially had a DTR for me.
Yes.
So she could see that I was struggling, and she came in and essentially just asked this boy what we were.
Well, okay, I didn't just commandeer the conversation. Like, you couldn't hear him.
Yes.
There's something wrong with the audio, and
We were Skyping at the time.
Yes.
Early, like, FaceTime for those who are
iChat,
young.
Was it like iChat back then?
It was Skype.
Okay.
And so essentially Kaylee was down the hall. We were in the same dorm, and she heard me, and I'm sitting in the hallway, and I was like, I can't hear you. Can you, or I can see you, I can't hear you, or...
Yeah, I heard that happen.
And Kaylee, in our early days of friendship, was like the person we turned to fix all of our electronics. She always told us what electronics we needed to buy. Like,
yeah.
She was just on that. And so she heard me, and she kind of poked her head around. I wish you could see the video. Poked her head around the corner, and she's like, need help? I was like, I guess. So she takes my computer.
Yeah.
And she's trying to fix it. And so then she starts talking to this boy,
yeah,
who will remain nameless, who's lovely.
Lovely
He's
guy.
He's a lovely guy.
Sweet guy.
She basically, like, the question I'd been wanting to ask for like 3 years, because we were
like, so are you guys dating? She was behind the computer.
I feel stressed even reliving this story.
She was behind the computer, and I could see her face. He could not see her face. And her eyes just got so big. And I was like,
stressed.
She wants to know the answer to this question. And he was like, do you guys know each other? I was like, nope, just met. So, like, what's going on here? And he was like, well, we, like, have so much love for each other.
And the rest is history. We don't really have to go into the whole story.
I just remember saying he wasn't moving to Nashville, and you were in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, well, that's the wrong way, son. And that was it. That was the end of the relationship.
Like, Daniela is here.
Yeah, she's here.
So if you want to be with Daniela, you need to be here.
So then we hung up the computer, and we've been best friends ever since.
Yes.
She was like,
bonded all
who
night.
Is this person? We need to be best friends.
But I feel like we've been that for each other many times. Like,
yes.
The proverbial DTR. Yes. I will take your computer and I will say what needs to be said.
I will take your phone and I will text him what needs to be said.
I will do it.
Yeah, so
we
exactly.
We have helped each other in this
exactly.
way over the years.
I always explain that you are the gatekeeper to our friend group.
Oh, that's nice.
You always are the one who opens the gate, you know, like.
Mm. And closes it.
And closes it.
I'm
yes,
protective.
You are protective.
Of my people.
But you're like, yes.
Like, don't come in here with your toxicity.
No. Ain't nobody got time for that.
No, we do not.
You do have a good radar for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's always like, everyone's always like, I met Daniela first. And I'm like, yeah, that's no surprise. Because she's always the, hi, I'm Daniela. What's your name? What do you do? Oh, you need to meet this person who also does that. And you guys can work on projects together. And I have a project coming up. And you can work on this part. That is you.
You're
always moving and shaking and doing something.
Well, I'm trying.
You really are. We were maid of honors. Well, no, I can't say that because we weren't.
Yeah. First of all, Kaylee was my maid of honor, but I was not hers. So we can just air this laundry out in front of the whole world.
I always forget that you weren't because
right.
to me, like in my head, I had you and Becca as my both matrons of
it's
honor.
It's fine. I'm not.
No, but I say it all the time that we were because in my head is actually accurate. In my
it's
head,
right.
you were a matron of honor at my wedding. If one of you would have been not married, it would have been perfect.
Right.
But she had just got, I could have had a maid and a matron.
It's really fine. I'm not easily offended for just
this
the
is my favorite
out
thing
there.
About you. And that's also why we've been friends for so long.
Yeah.
Because
no
you
grudges
know,
here.
No.
One, because you have a bad memory.
Thank you for saying that for everybody to hear, because multiple people have come on here and been like, you have such a good memory.
Oh, wow. Maybe you're growing. I would never say that about you.
Thank you. I was like, it's so funny you guys are all saying this, because if you ask my closest friends, they will tell you that
it's
is
bad.
Not true.
It's a bad memory. Well, but that's, I feel
thank
like,
you.
This is why we don't have grudges, because you have forgotten and I'm not offended typically to even have a grudge in the first place. So. It
and
works.
We don't really get mad about stuff. We just don't get mad about stuff.
No, I feel like we hash it out in the moment every once in a while.
We'll
but
be like, no, yes, no, okay, you're right. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Sorry. Forgive
so sorry.
You. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
I'm so glad you said that. It's honestly because I think things of the spirit I remember.
Mm. Well, that's because it's your spirit.
Right.
Not
my
your mind.
My spirit has a great memory.
Your mind.
My mind, and not to so much.
That's a great point.
So when I have my friends on here telling these stories that I remember, like, the spirit of God doing.
Right.
I remember
your
those
spirit
things.
Remembers.
Yeah. Like, all of your dad's stories. I remember verbatim.
Right.
You know, but, like, you ask me, like, the sequence of events last night, or, like, what did you eat for dinner? And I'll be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It takes me a second. I'm like, okay, we made that.
Well, the important things stick with
me.
The
important things
there you go.
Stick with me. Okay, so I want to start way back, obviously, how we met. But then, really, not only are you the gatekeeper of our friend group, you are the glue. Like, you're the reason our friend group is our friend group, I think.
That's very nice.
Do you feel like that?
I mean, I feel like, historically, if you look at sort of the timeline, and for those of you who don't know, she's referencing like this group of friends we have from college that we're still all friends. And so essentially, one of the things that kind of started it off is that Chris and I started dating.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband and I started dating, and he plays guitar for Russell on the Road.
Yep.
For context for everybody. And all of my friends ended up marrying all of Chris's friends. So that is part of
except
it.
Except for me, but yes.
Except
most
for you.
Of them. Yep.
And then the other part that is hard and good and all the things is that pretty early on into our friendship in college, my mom died. And so it was sort of this like band together, like you are in or you are out, because things are hitting the fan. It is getting rough. So it was sort of that moment where like trauma and tragedy really brought us together, and we really had to make a decision, like, are we going to be in or out? And so there was this sort of early group of girls that I feel like our bond was solidified for life, because you guys all walked with me through that. So that sort of feels like the beginning.
Yeah, it does. To me, it does. And
that was freshman year of college.
Yeah. In November, right?
December.
We met in October.
Yeah.
And then she passed in December. And I think for me, I looked around and I was like, these are people who will go through hell and high water.
Mm-hmm.
For someone they love and or just met. And I'm like, these are my people.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's kind of what happened. Like, if people fell away, which I don't really feel like, kind of, not really.
We always have like acquaintances in college, like people you like and hang out with, but you don't necessarily like.
You saw everyone band together.
Mm-hmm. The people that really clung to me during that time. And we were all young and immature. I look back, I'm like, the maturity I saw in you guys was so crazy to me, because you really had to choose uncomfortable moments with me during that time.
Yeah.
Because I was so young, so I wasn't handling it well.
Right.
And
no one should.
I was shutting down and like not processing emotions. Like, fun fact, I think in hindsight, I was like dissociating a lot. If I, now that I have like, you know, words,
tools
to describe it. But after my mom died, I was so far from processing my emotions that I ended up in the hospital with internal bleeding. And literally, they ran all these tests on me. They were trying to figure out what was happening. They were like, did you get in a car accident? Did you, was there anything that like physically traumatic happened to you? Why this could be happening? And I was like, no. And they were like, okay, well, finally at the end of the night, they were like, well, what about like any emotional trauma? And I was like, no, I don't think so.
Unbelievable.
They were like, did anything like traumatic recently happen? And my friends were there and they were like, well, her mom just died. And I was like, oh yeah, like, could that be it? And they were like, yes, that could be it. And so essentially I wasn't processing my emotions. So my body was manifesting my trauma. So that's where I was at when my mom died. And with that came just like really interesting bouts of depression and sleeplessness and insomnia and on medication. And so like, I remember one time there was a fire drill.
No, it wasn't a fire drill.
Tornado drill?
Not even a drill.
It was a tornado. It was a tornado. And I had taken my sleep medication. Yeah. And they had to drag me down to the basement.
Yes.
And everyone's crowded in the basement. You should probably tell us because I was asleep.
Yeah, you were asleep. I will take over. I just remember before bed, there was tornado watches.
Yeah.
And you were like, I'm taking my medicine. You're like making sure everyone knew. You're like, I'm taking my medicine. If they take us, you have to come get me.
And I was on the top bunk.
Top bunk. You were like, I'm not going to wake up. And I was like, I got this. And I was a floor above you because you changed floors, changed rooms. We were on the same floor, whatever. Irrelevant information. Yeah.
So you and Cammie, because Cammie, who has been on the podcast, she was my roommate.
Yes.
And so you and Cammie had to get me off the top bunk.
Yes. I came downstairs. We got you off the top bunk because you were like moving. But like you weren't like incapacitated.
I wasn't cognizant though.
Yeah, no, you were not. And so, and you insisted on taking your entire duvet with us. So you had this big, fluffy, like Bed Bath & Beyond Blackbird duvet with like turquoise somethings on it. And it was like 100 degrees down. And we had to go to the basement of the guy side of the dorms. And it was so hot down there. And there you were just curled up in your duvet.
Well, I feel like you told me everybody was really crowded down there, but then I was like sprawled.
Yes. And but like laying down, you were laying down across the floor and everyone was like, oh, she had a wild night. Cause we were like, you were leaning on all of us. And so me and Cammie, I think it was Cammie, got so protected. We were like, no, she did not. She just took a sleeping bag.
Thank you for sticking up for me. Honestly.
I was like, she is not drunk. But we were like, children, you know? Anyway.
But these moments, you know, like a lot of people would have been like, you are on your own.
No, not us.
But with not all us. Of the, you know, the aftermath of all of that, I think you just, when you walk through something like that with your friends, like it bonds you. And so looking back, I see that was sort of the beginning of the thread.
Yeah.
And I think it taught us all a lot early on. So we probably grew in wisdom and these things that maybe take a few more extra years in the real world. But when tragedy hits, it just kind of ages you in a way.
Yeah. And you definitely had to grow up quick because then it was just you, your dad, and your brother. And your brother was how old?
He was 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you kind of stepped into mom role and you weren't at home. And there was just a lot for an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
You had just turned 19, I guess.
Yeah. And I was talking to my brother the other day because now he's 25. He lives here in Nashville and I love having him here. We were talking about like having kids because I still have not like wrapped my head around the potential of having kids. But he was like, you did a great job with me. And I was like, honestly, thanks for recognizing that. And second of all, yes, I just got you out of the house. Like, that's how I feel. I want to start over.
You're an empty nester. And you're like, why would I fill my nest again? I'm finally an empty nester.
He's paying his bills. He's got a job. He's got a car. He's got a house. We're like, check, 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 check. Crushing it.
Taking a quick break to tell y'all, I know I don't have to remind you, but how obsessed with coffee we are in this house. If you're coffee lovers like us, you're going to want to hear about my new favorite subscription, Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee sends you freshly roasted coffee from the country's best craft roasters right to your front door and as often as you would like. Their coffee is ethically sourced, so when you buy from Trade Coffee, you're supporting local and independent coffee roasters. Listen, we're pour over coffee drinkers here, so we are pretty picky about our coffee. This weekend, my husband and I enjoyed Methodical while out on the road. This particular coffee is roasted by Felipe Trujillo, and it's from Colombia. It's a black honey process with notes of pomegranate and mango, and it was delish. Not everyone has the same taste in coffee, so what I like may totally differ from what you like to drink. But the experts at Trade Coffee have taste-tested thousands of coffees and have selected over 450 of the best bags to find your perfect cup. This is why Trade is so confident in matching you with a bag of coffee that you'll love. But even if you don't, they'll send you a brand new bag for free. Just answer a few short questions and they'll help you find the perfect cup of coffee for you. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/CWK. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Hallelujah. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/CWK and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/CWK for $30 off. And don't forget about Father's Day coming up. A Trade subscription is the perfect gift for the coffee lovers in your life. I'm so proud of you. You raised a good one.
I feel like I really
we
did.
Love him. We love
he
you,
turned
Christian.
Out great.
You're listening to this. We love you. Well, then you met Chris shortly after your mom passed away.
Yeah.
And I remember all us girls were like, be careful. Like, you just went through something super intense. Don't, like, drop your heart into this other place that could hurt you. Or, like, I remember just being like, oh, no.
I don't remember you being like that.
Oh, I probably didn't say it to you.
Because I only remember people encouraging me to do it because I was like not into it.
Oh, no, that wasn't me. Well, I did encourage.
Because our friend Rebecca is who had a talk with me about how great Chris was. You don't know about this?
No.
Yeah, well, I think because I was going through a lot, I was not very emotionally available.
Yeah.
Chris and I got set up and I was like, I couldn't tell if I was really into it. And if you ever hear from Chris, if he ever comes on this podcast, you will get a glimpse of this quirky, wonderful, amazing man.
We love him.
He goes through these like times where he doesn't want to like talk to anyone and he's like fairly introverted. He takes time to get to know and yeah. He's a very deep well. But like, you know, if you're looking at a field and there's a well, like you wouldn't see the well. You know what I mean?
What an analogy.
You
for
know,
Chris Young.
He is beneath the surface.
Yeah,
So surface things don't really work. So in the beginning, I was like struggling. I just didn't think I really liked him. I felt bad because I could tell he liked me. But all of our interactions were so awkward. And I was like, I feel bad. I just feel bad all the time. And Becca sat me down and she was like, this man is wonderful. And you need to give this a shot. Mm. And I was like,
great job,
okay,
Becca.
I know. And honestly, all I had heard about Chris when people were describing him was that he is a wonderful person. Like everybody used that word, wonderful. And I was like, well, I want to get to know a wonderful person. And
that sounds good to me.
It was actually my dad who like loosened me up a little bit. I called him and he knew that I was kind of talking to someone and I was really kind of freaking out about it. And he goes, hey, you don't have to marry him. If he makes you happy right now, you deserve to be happy. Mm-hmm. Just be happy for a little while. I do not think he thought we would get married because fast forward in the story, there was some
hesitation.
Yes. There were ups and downs.
You got married right after 21. I mean, you were like 21 in 2 months.
I was 22.
22.
I was 22. So we dated for 3 years, got married at 22.
Yeah, just a bunch of babies.
Yeah.
No, I was twofold.
But I did not know that you were hesitant about this.
I had twofold.
I'm glad you didn't say something because I would have probably bailed because I was so on the
border. No, I was nervous about your heart investment. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I am really passionate that, like, dating casually is never casual.
Mm.
Like, no matter what it is, you are making a heart investment, whether it's a month, 2 months,
years. And the promise of it potentially being casual is the only thing that kept me in.
See, yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
But I was just scared because I was like, yeah. I did not want to watch you get hurt again.
Totally.
I was like,
this
I don't
is
know
not
if my
the
heart
time to
can
be hurt.
Take yeah. her getting hurt, you know? And so I was afraid of that. But then, other side of the coin, as soon as I met Chris,
mm-hmm.
I totally great, wonderful. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, then I went into problem solving mode because you problem solve for me and I problem solve for you. Like, this is our-
That's very true.
Why we're best friends. We problem solve for everybody else. And when we get stuck in our own problem solving, we call each other. Oh, master problem solvers.
I know what story you're about to tell and you definitely have to tell it.
So I was like, what is it about him that you don't like? And she was like, well, his hair's kind of long.
I said, his hair's too long and his nails are too long.
Because he plays guitar. And so when you play guitar, it's help. Like,
you have to have long nails on one hand.
On one hand. Yeah. And so that weirded her out, which is understandable.
It was weird. I'm used to it now.
It's very normal to see in Nashville, but I didn't know that either. When I first moved here, I was like, what is wrong with these boys and why can't they cut their right hand? What's going on? Like, clipping with your left hand is tricky.
Hand.
But like, not that tricky to just let that one entirely go. I didn't realize what was happening.
I remember you were like, well, I can't do anything about the nails because he's a classical guitar minor, but I can do something about the hair.
Yep.
And so Kaylee and I just show up to Chris's apartment and she's got clippers and we didn't give him any heads up and he didn't say anything. Nothing. I was just like, hey, we're gonna cook you dinner, and Kaylee was like, yeah, I'm gonna cut your hair, and he was just goes, sweet, free haircut.
Did we even make them dinner? We made dinner.
We made fajitas.
That's the night we became besties with Spencer. Well, I became besties with Spencer.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And this was the beginning of our friendship.
Yes.
Because Spencer had older brothers, and Spencer and I just related.
And we're talking
like
about Spencer Noe, who now is like a publisher and
married to the girl who wrote most of Russell's hits that you know.
Like, yeah, Parker.
It's a whole connected thing. Yeah. But we were Midwestern kids, you know, mm-hmm. and I was like, Spencer reminds me of one of my brothers. And so anyway,
you both love Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah, we loved Dave Matthews Band. I showed up with clippers because I'd been cutting my brother's hair in Nashville. And so I went to his house and I was like, hey, I'm going to need these clippers. And Kay went over to Chris's house, cut his hair.
And honestly, the haircut did a lot for me. Like, that was kind of a turning point for me.
It's funny, I look back on the hair he had when you guys like were early dating and I was like, who gave me clippers?
it didn't look great, but it looked better. And It's funny, obviously I don't want to be, you know, shallow, but I do think those things. This is what I tell my brother. I'm like, just be put together. Like, it goes a long way for girls to like keep your hair trimmed and, you know, your face trimmed and like your shirt's not super wrinkly. Like, that goes a long way.
It does. And here's another important point to this is when you're talking about dating someone, don't rule out the superficial things.
Totally.
Because those, like, you're looking for character here. You're looking for things that will still be true when they're 80.
Mm-hmm.
The haircut, it ebbs and flows.
Right.
The nails, he'll probably have those forever, but you know what?
I love them now. Great back scratcher.
And you have a very itchy back.
I do have a very itchy back.
No one has an itchier back than Danielle.
I love it.
And it hits her just all out of the blue.
Well, and I have very short arms.
Yes.
So it's a constant struggle for me.
It's always like, oh, right there, right so now. It's really, like, out of nowhere.
It's very,
it's like a comet is about to hit the earth.
It's a strong thing that happens. Well, see, God knew. He's like, you're going to need a guy with long nails to scratch your itchy back.
Yes.
And yet, there's a lesson in here somewhere. The thing that turned me off is the thing that I would have needed for my whole life.
See, look at that. Don't be superficial, guys.
Right.
You don't know the thing that
By
you
the way,
don't
my
want,
husband is extremely handsome and a beautiful man.
Wonderful man.
So he's going to be like, Danielle, why are you talking for 15 minutes about my terrible haircut days?
He's one of my favorite people. One of my absolute actual best friends also.
Which, let's talk about. Kaylee and Chris have, like, if you've seen New Girl, they have a Winston and CeCe relationship.
100%.
Like, CeCe and Winston mess around. Yeah. Like, 100%. Chris will go undercover for Kaylee to find out any information she needs to know. Like, they have such a
funny...
You can't
tell that he's in the KIA and no one can know.
Oh, so sorry.
You compromised his identity.
You can edit that out.
Actually, kind of funny.
But I watched an episode of New Girl recently where, like, Winston got a gift for CeCe that Schmidt did not understand. He was like, why would she want a beanbag? And he was like, trust me, she'll love it. And I feel like that would absolutely happen. Like, some random... Well, because you spend so much time with him on the road.
Yeah.
And for a long time, you all shared a bus or a van. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you have your own inside jokes. And, like, and then Russell and I also kind of have our own inside jokes.
Our friend group.
Very brother and sister vibes.
It's a magical thing. And I really think, I'm a firm believer that our parents prayed prayed this in.
Totally.
Now that I know more, I'll never forget the first time I met your dad. It was at Las Palmas on West End. And we all were there all around the table. And he was like, I prayed for this. I prayed for this. And then everyone at the table, I'll never forget it, went around, was like, I prayed for my college friends in high school or middle school. And everyone.
Well, I feel like parents were there.
Might have been.
It was like for a recital.
Maybe. But the kids, every single, I remember you saying it. The parents said it, but so did we.
Interesting.
And I remember each, I was like, I prayed for my friends in college. I prayed. And Becca was like, me too. You were like, me too. And it all went around. I was like, okay, there's a reason we all found each other.
Yeah.
And gravitated towards each other.
Well, and it's clearer now, 10, 15 years later, that a lot of our callings were to be intertwined.
Yeah.
So it really does feel bigger than us. Like, on a surface level, it's like so nice we have friends and we've stayed friends. But if you zoom out, it's like, oh, well, this person was supposed to make this album with this person that changed the course of their life. And these callings overlap. And, you know, I think it's just a lot bigger than us, and we realize that in hindsight. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the amount of people that have been affected by the songs that Casey and Parker and Russell wrote together that would not exist if they weren't friends. Right. So it's like, and just watching Russell's career change over time and the camaraderie that we've built is, I feel like, spilling out.
Yeah.
And it's now in our art and in our business. And
in our callings, And you're a major reason, again, because same thing, your dad, it was your graduation party. And he walked up to Russell and didn't know him from Adam, knew nothing about him. And he was like, well, you have a Garth Brooks anointing on your life. And he was like, what? And he starts talking. He was like, man, you are called to this friend group. Something, something, something. And all I heard was, you are called to this friend group. And I was like, that means we're getting married because this is my friend group. So if he doesn't stay, he goes.
These are my people.
These are my
friends.
You do
not get to take them with you.
So if he is called to this friend group, he is called to me because he doesn't get to stay.
He doesn't get one without the other. Okay.
And I will go out on a limb here and say, when Russell and I broke up in college, y'all have heard this story, right after college, actually. And I told Daniela, I drove out to where she was working. She was working at this random gym place, which, if you know her, makes zero sense. Like,
I'm not very athletic, but.
Hey, but you know, you were.
But
getting,
I could sell. That's why they had me. They were like, wow, Daniela really sells these memberships. I'm like, how on earth did I do that?
I don't know.
I memorized the script and just like crushed it. It was like my acting chops, really.
Just all culminated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I drove out to see her because she was working late. No one was going to be there. And so I was like, I asked her to hang out. And she was like, well, I'm working. I was like, I'll just come hang out with you. And I distinctly remember you being like, if he doesn't know that it is you, then I am not here for it. I'm not here for him. And I was like, thank you for having my back.
I did.
But I do still think it's going to be him, but I'm okay with it not. And you're like, well, if he doesn't know, it's not fine by me. Like, you had high standards.
I definitely was a little frustrated with him at the time. Love him so much. And he has grown immensely.
Yes. He really has.
But at the time, I was like, you're kidding, right? Like, you get to have Kaylee and you're walking away like, boy, bye.
Boy, bye. And we both boy-bied him. We did.
Yeah.
We're like, see you later.
But then we boy-hide.
Boy-hide.
So
welcome to
so
back
soon.
With open arms.
Yes, yes.
Open arms. Okay, what was your change of heart? Eventually, when were you like, it's Chris? What was the moment for you?
So I really had like, I had a few weeks of us kind of hanging out and I was unsure. And I feel like it was 2 or 3 weeks in when Becca gave me that talking to. Mm-hmm. And Becca, I think she would say from her perspective that I was scared. Like, I maybe knew it was potentially my person. And because I was so young, because backstory for me, I never thought I would get married young if I got married at all. Like, I was like career woman, like, I'm going to get married later in life. Nothing's going to get in the way of my career and my music. And so it was very weird for me to meet someone so young. And then come to find out it makes sense because we ended up making so much of my art together. Yeah. And he was really such a huge part of my career and still is. So for several weeks, I was just really unsure. And then one night, I just was in love with him. I didn't have like an arc where I was like, oh, I kind of like this guy. I just went from like, I don't know, and I feel bad because I could tell he really likes me. And then suddenly I was in love with him. So when I give relationship advice now, which, you know, I'm in my 30s. We've been married for 11 years. I feel like I have something to say now.
Yeah, you do.
I always say, like, give it a chance because some of the best guys fly under the radar. They're not the, like, macho. Not that you can't be a good guy and be macho, but a lot of times these really good guys fly under the radar. And it takes a little bit of time. And especially now that I, like, obviously know Chris so intimately, it takes time with him because he is such a deep well.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just get what you see. Like, there's an iceberg beneath the surface and you don't know. So it just takes some time.
Yeah, it's almost like he just doesn't grant everyone access is really what it is. Like,
well, and he will tell you with me, like, he was trying to grant me access, but he was feeling very nervous, which is funny. Also, if you know him, because he doesn't get nervous about anything now.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, fast forward a little bit, his sister is, they're very close in age and they're very close. Liz, shout out to Liz.
We love Liz.
You should have Liz on the podcast. She would be amazing.
I love
my sister-in-law.
This is how close we all are. Like, I am obsessed with Chris's sister.
I know. It's very funny. So I went to her wedding and they all had the same friends in high school. And so I'm like, ooh, does anyone have any like fun stories about Chris from high school? And all these girls, like gorgeous, popular cheerleader girls, which I was not, they were like, oh, Chris was such a ladies' man. All the girls loved Chris. And he was kind of like serial monogamous. Like he always had a girlfriend. Like he'd had like 50 girlfriends or something by the time we dated because he started dating girls in kindergarten and he was never single after kindergarten. And I was like, this is the exact opposite of my experience.
Yeah.
So when I found that out, I was like, Chris, you did not tell me that you are some kind of ladies' man. When we met, you could barely get a sentence out. And so apparently I threw him off his game and he might have a different way of sharing this story. Who knows? We can A and B it later. But it is very funny looking back now that we know each other so well, we can see what was happening at the time where I was like, I see what was happening in your little brain those first few weeks. And now I truly feel like for the rest of my life, I will still be learning about him because that's how much there is to him. And so those kind of people, you just have to like give them a chance and give it some time. And so that's always my advice is like, you know, you don't just get the most wonderful people after one date. Like, you might need to try a few dates, a few weeks, you know.
Might need to crack the shell a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Chris is maybe the smartest person I know. He really is everything you're saying. And I described him this weekend. You're going to love this. Maybe he told you. Probably not. He never tells you anything.
He doesn't tell me.
She always finds out about stuff via me. Like, I'm like, hey, we're doing this thing. She goes, Chris never told me. I'm like, Christopher.
Well, and I ask him, I'm like, did anything of interest happen on the road? And then I'll try to get specific. I'm like, did anyone fall down? Anyone drop an instrument?
Chris did fall off the stage once.
He did. And Russell picked him up.
With one arm.
With one arm. Muscle Dickerson over here. Put it back on the stage. So now I try to get specific and guess. I'm like, okay.
Did this happen?
Like, when you were golfing, did anything funny happen? Did you accidentally throw your club? Like, and it, I still don't.
Still get nothing.
No.
No, this isn't anything of, like, note. But I described Chris. I was like, Chris is, someone was saying they wish they could understand his Instagram stories. Which is fair. Because Chris, I said, Chris Young is the definition. His Instagram stories are the definition of walking in at the end of a conversation. Because he gives no context.
That is so real.
He gives no context to how he got in. He loves maps. So like all of a sudden it'll just be a map of the Ukraine or like a map
ancient
maps and like how it influenced politics.
We were like, we need Chris's Instagram for Dummies account.
Yeah.
Whoever
we were talking about this with, see the bad memory thing, guys, here to back it up. I don't remember who we were having this conversation with, but they were like, that's exactly what they said. Yeah, they said, we need Chris Young's Instagram for Dummies.
So funny.
He is that. He is the definition of walking in at the end of a conversation because he has done like epics of research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that's why I'm like, all right, explain to me what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Give me the spark notes. Give me the rundown. Sister doesn't have time to look it up. And he was a poli sci major.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate actually his perspective because he's not one way or the other. He's just like, hey, they're both doing this or both saying this. And it's the same thing just from different, you know. His perspective is refreshing.
So moral of the story, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
If you want somebody interesting and smart, deep well. Got to give them a chance.
Got to give them a chance.
To come out of their shell a little bit.
I love that. I love that so much. That
I'm very glad I gave, and I'm very glad Becca told me to stick it out.
I know, because now we have a bestie on the road,
mm-hmm.
and obviously a bestie with you.
Yeah.
I want to ask all my parents out there with little ones, how many times do you get up in the middle of the night? All we want as parents is a full night without interruptions, and that is why I'm here to help. Coterie diapers will save you. Trust me, they keep your baby happy and comfortable, which can lead to less wake-ups and more shut-eye for everyone. Coterie is the highest-performing diaper on the market for infants and toddlers, with up to 2 times more liquid capacity and up to 4 times faster moisture-wicking compared to other brands. Your baby stays drier longer, and Coterie parents report fewer nighttime diaper changes, which can lead to better quality sleep, not just for your baby, but for you. Glory, hallelujah. These diapers are made with clothing-grade material, so your baby is more comfortable for longer day and night. They're also dermatologist-tested and use only the cleanest ingredients. Plus, Coterie wipes are also Natural Eczema Association approved and environmentally friendly. And they're thicker, which I personally enjoy. I feel like they get the job done. Forget about nighttime leaks and wet sheets. Try the Rolls-Royce of diapers, Coterie, which was voted top diaper to include in registry in the 2022 Best for Baby Awards by parents. We are obsessed. Right now, Coterie is partnering with my podcast to offer you 20% off your first order, plus free shipping at coterie.com/coffeewithkaylee. That's Coterie, spelled coterie.com/coffeewithkaylee for 20% off. And that's free shipping. coterie.com/coffeewithkaylee. Now back to Daniela. Okay, so let's go back to after your mom died. You had insomnia, all of those things. And actually, Chris is one of the reasons
this is a cute story.
That you started sleeping.
It's so funny we're talking so much about Chris. I didn't anticipate
me neither.
This. I never get to talk about him on podcasts or interviews or anything. So this is so nice.
Well, I mean, I love both of you so much. I actually had a dream a long time ago that he was on the podcast, so he'll have to do it at some point.
You're going to have to set aside some time.
I know.
Yeah, this story is very sweet. I don't know that I would share it to, like, the youth group, but
right,
it is just true.
It's still G-rated.
It is, yeah. So essentially, when my mom died, even before she died, so she was diagnosed with cancer September of my freshman year and died in December. So it was very quick. And so when she got diagnosed, I started having trouble sleeping. And I don't know that I feel like a lot of my life I've had trouble sleeping. Now I'm fine, but partially because of the story. So my doctor put me on some sleep medication, but I really did not like it, as we went over with the whole tornado situation. It always felt like I would take it and it was like shutting a computer down and then you just turn the computer back on and like 8 hours later, I would just open my eyes. I never felt rested. And so it just didn't really like sit well with me. And I had weird like cognitive things that happened with it. And so what's funny is, so fast forward, Chris and I start dating. And 3 weeks in, probably, I was hanging out at his and Spencer's apartment and I fell asleep. And at his apartment, at a strange man's apartment in college. And I slept for like 10 hours straight. And this poor guy, literally, he had a twin bed. I can just see him now, like squished on the side of the bed, just like struggling so much. But he didn't want to wake me up because he knew that I had not slept without my sleeping pill. And so I called my dad the next day and I kind of like freaked out. I was like, because I was a very conservative girl.
Like, you had kissed one boy before Chris.
Yeah, a couple, but not, you know.
Two.
Very conservative. Yeah. And I called my dad, and I straight out the gate, I was like, I fell asleep at Chris's apartment. And he was like, his first thing was like, you fell asleep without your sleeping pill? That was the first thing. He wasn't like, how dare you? My conservative, you know, missionary father, pastor, man, was like, didn't even think about the first part of it. It was like the last part. He was like, you fell asleep without your sleeping pill. And I was like, yeah, we both knew it was a big deal because it had been months. And he was like, well, this man must really put you at ease and bring you peace. And that's when he kind of said that what I referenced earlier, where he was like, if he makes you happy, you deserve to be happy right now instead of being sad. So you don't have to marry the man. You don't have to marry the man. Just like, and I think he probably knew for me, if I had known that Chris would be my husband, I would have freaked out and left because I was so young. I was 19. Like, I wasn't ready to meet my husband, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But because I kind of loosened my grip around the narrative and just kind of like let it be, we were able to evolve naturally and mm-hmm. get to know each other. And so after that, I never had to take another sleeping pill. And it was yeah. really, really, really sweet.
And then the song Sleep was born.
Yeah.
If you've ever listened to Daniela's that's wonderful old. Music.
That's not on the internet anymore.
It's not?
No. But there's part two, Night Shapes.
Yeah, that's true. That's yeah. true. Y'all, we're Daniela Mason music stands.
Fanielas
is yeah. what we call ourselves. Her married name is Daniela Young. But if you're looking for her music, Daniela Mason,
yes.
her maiden name.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about your dad.
Yes.
My favorite person on the planet.
Yeah. Well, you've mentioned him on the yeah. podcast a mm-hmm. bit. Yeah. So my dad passed away in October. Mm-hmm. And as you can tell, he was a very big part of all of our lives.
Yeah.
So it's interesting navigating grief, you know, late 15 years later. Mm-hmm. I think I'm doing a little bit better this time.
I can attest that you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Much more like present. Because mm-hmm. I told my brother this the other day, I was like, it makes sense to be sad. Like, it is sad.
Yeah, it is.
We are actually supposed to be sad. So I think growing up, I just had very, like, I was hard on myself with emotion. And I was like, we power through, you know, we have things to do. And that's probably why I shut down a lot of my emotion with my mom, is because I did have a lot to do. I kind of took on the matriarch role. And
you were in college. And
right. Like, there was a lot going on. And so with this one, I just had to keep reminding myself, like, it is sad. You should be sad. And, you know, months later, though, which I'm an 8 on the Enneagram, if anybody knows what that means. But
we talk about it around here.
Cool. So I now have to schedule time for myself to, like, be sad and feel. Mm-hmm. Because now, several months later, like, I like to work. And work actually, like, makes me, it's a really good distraction. And I'm, like, happier. But I know what I'm doing because I became a workaholic after my mom. Mm-hmm. And so I know what I'm doing. And so I have to literally sit and be like, all right, Daniela, you're taking tomorrow off. And I know that the waves will hit me because mm-hmm. I slow down long enough for them to. And then I just have to spend the day sad.
Yeah.
Because it is sad.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's honoring to him.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, rob mm-hmm. him and his legacy and his memory because it's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. It is. And I read something recently talking about grief and how everyone wants to just get to the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no such thing.
Mm-mm. It changes, but, like, my grief looks different now than it looked in October, obviously, November, December. Like, those first few months were awful.
Yeah.
But now you just, like, you settle into it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it feels like a piece of clothing that I'm just, like, always wearing. Mm-hmm. But you wear it in and it becomes part of you. And it's not like I'm living in that space. I don't naturally live in my negative emotions anyways. Mm-hmm. So I think we all have, like, lessons to learn, of course. Like, some of us need to learn how to not live in our sadness forever. But for me, because I don't naturally embrace sadness, I do have to tell myself and give myself space and say, like, this is who you are. You are naturally created to have emotion and have mm-hmm. a full spectrum. And that's what it is to be human. So it's really just, I look back and it took me many, many, many years to gain access to my full emotional spectrum. I wrote multiple albums about this. And then I arrived to the end of this whole process and I finally feel like I have full access to my emotional spectrum, and then my dad dies. So I look back and I see God's hand in that, because I do feel like I'm really living. And there are times in my life when I really wasn't, because I shut down so much of my humanity. So I really, somebody asked me the other day, like, how I was doing. And I said, what's really weird is because the loss has created such a depth in me, I have had some of my best and worst moments since my dad died, because I feel so deeply now, because I let his absence carve out a space in me. So when I'm feeling that deeply, when it's sad, I'm also feeling that deeply when it's happy. And So my joy feels higher than it's ever been, but my sadness feels deeper than it's ever been. So it's this really weird dichotomy, and I'm experiencing these really high highs and really low lows, but I really do feel like I'm living.
Well, when we started this episode, there was no way we were going to get to everything in 45 minutes. So I just went ahead and scheduled her as a two-part episode. So join us next week as we finish this conversation with my best friend, Daniela.